Hey everyone, it's your host here, Jake Hirschman. Excited for you to dive into these highlight episodes, whether you're a longtime listener or first-time listener. These are going to be shortened episodes from the past that bring you the best of the best of the content from great guests. Enjoy these and want to take a quick moment to thank our two sponsors, Suju Organic and Screen Skins. Get your 15% off Suju Organic at sujuorganic.com with the code LIFO, L-I-F-O, and visit screenskins.com for 20% off at checkout with the code LIFO24. Get your screen protector today. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. This is the Life in the Front Office Plus, where we dive deeper into personal and professional development, share nuggets and highlights from previous episodes, and bring you new content to provide insights and perspectives beyond the front office. Enjoy today's episode. What's the biggest thing you've learned from interviewing so many people? Because I think, you know, one would ask, like, you've done thousands of episodes, why do you keep doing it, right? How, you know, are you going to end up talking about the same thing over and over again with different people? And the answer is no, it never happens that way.
I love that. And it's so true, because Napoleon Hill is one of my favorite authors. In fact, I went to the Napoleon Hill Foundation to write my first book, Connected to Goodness, which I give to everybody, by the way. So anybody wants that book, david@dmeltzer.com, email me, I'll give it to you. I'll sign it, I'll send it to you, pay for it and pay for shipping. But the reason is that Napoleon Hill, who lacked the ability that we do to communicate with so many people, spent a fortune. Andrew Carnegie paid Napoleon Hill to go around the world and meet with, you know, 70 of the most successful people, the spirit of excellence, to learn the secrets of life. That's what I'm doing. I'm being paid. I have activity I get paid for to find the lessons and give the lessons of life that I find. It's a great flow of information, of lessons. And what I've learned is life is about these lessons, and the lessons keep on coming until we learn them. And if we haven't learned them, then we're going to have pain, setbacks, failures, and mistakes that I want to help other people through. So the best part of my life, something I will never stop. You're going to see 111-year-old Dave Meltzer on whatever virtual augmented podcast that I'm doing, still learning lessons and interpreting them and teaching those lessons. So, and I will tell you, the two biggest lessons, the common denominators of all these thousands of interviews that I've done, number one, gratitude is the common denominator of happiness. No matter how sick or well you are, poor or rich, tall or short, skinny or fat, no matter what religion, what philosophy, what spirituality you believe in, if you have gratitude in your life, it is the common denominator to happiness. Then the other lesson that I've learned, because I've been blessed to be around these biggest names, right? The billionaires, the millionaires, entrepreneurs, you know, Gary V's of the world that I started with, the celebrities, athletes, and entertainers, they all have one thing in common. And this is something I want to learn about from everyone I talk to and talk with: the desire that you must be what you can be. This is the context of enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential. The desire that you must be what you can be, no matter what anybody says, no, the laughing, the scoffing, the attacking, the haters, it doesn't matter. Dave Meltzer has the desire that I must be what I can be. So first of all, there's exceptions to everything, right? The world is adaptable and amicable to the nature of my values, the what, the who, the how, the now, and applying my why. But the majority of my phone calls are limited to 5 minutes. And it comes from a mentor of mine who passed away last week, a gentleman named Bob Proctor, who had a significant impact on my life in a variety of different ways, including Earl Nightingale and Napoleon Hill, and, you know, reinterpreting and transcoding what they said into what was the modern day world when I was your age. But now Bob Proctor, just, he didn't even know what he was saying. You know, he's planting seeds under trees that he may never even sit under. But he said to me one day, he said, Dave, you know, you do so much in a day, but you could do more. I said, what do you mean? He goes, you know, after 5 minutes, you're just visiting. And it just, that was a lesson that resonated with me. That was on my spectrum. That was hitting me in the heart. And I was like, you know what? He's right. I love to visit with people, and I'm not productive, accessible, and gracious with my time because I'm limiting the amount of time I can spend with my health, my family, activity I get paid for, because I like to visit with people I don't even know. And so I need to get more focused, intentional about not only what I do, but what I say, think, believe, and feel in a conversation. Of course, I'm going to have exceptions to the rule. But if you spend the majority of your time knowing that you're not here to visit with people that you don't know or barely know, you're here to get things done, to maybe build a relationship where you want to prioritize the visiting time, because I prioritize my visiting time on my health and my family. I don't prioritize it, as my wife suggested one night when I used to be on the phone during dinner. She said, why is it that you treat people you don't even know better than you treat the people you say you love? That's the idea of the 520 rule. 20-minute meetings, interviews, and if someone's willing to come out and visit with me, 20 minutes, 5 minutes on the phone the majority of the time. Three lessons from that experience of empowering over a billion people to be happy. First, you know, I was afraid people would laugh at me, scoff at me, and make fun of me, because when I was inspired, because my 12-year-old daughter's friend committed suicide, and I couldn't understand, as I did more and more research on anxiety, depression, and suicide, what an epidemic and pandemic it is. I can't understand it. And I said, wait a second, I can teach people values and practices that I've learned to be happy so that they're not depressed, anxious, and suicidal. I can save lives. And this inspired me. And then I got caught in my own way again by saying, how is it that I'm going to go tell my wife, after I finally rebounded from losing over $100 million, we're finally back on top. Oh, by the way, dear, my mission in life now that we've made it back is to empower over a billion people to be happy. Oh my gosh, you got to have serious chutzpah, as they say, nerve. You know, you got to believe in yourself. But the first lesson is, people will laugh at you, scoff at you, make fun of you, even the people closest to you that love you the most to protect you. But, you know, they will applaud you no matter how big the dream is. Two, you know, how am I going to do it? That's where the confidence came in. It wasn't just that I was going to do, think, say, and believe. But when I felt it the most is when I said to myself, all I need to do is teach people like Jake, find 1,000 Jakes in my life, 1,000 of you that have your own audience, right? 1,000 of you with the values and the practices that I've learned, the dummy tax that I've paid. If I can teach and empower you, then you'll empower 1,000 to empower 1,000. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. 1,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000. And when I did the math, it got real. It got real and I started to feel. And when you do the quantitative analysis, you can get that last step of feeling, not just doing, thinking, saying, and believing, but you actually feel it. And that math broke through. And then finally, the biggest lesson that I love to teach people is, you ain't going to get unless you ask. And you got to ask bigger and better than you ever imagined. That the universe is not a zero sum game where if you ask big, somebody else loses big. No, it's a value add game. If you appreciate what you have, it adds to the universe. Acknowledge it, give it all away, and then ask for more. So the third lesson is to ask big, ask often, don't limit yourself, and everyone can join me in my mission of empowering over a billion people to be happy through values and practices to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Then just find one mentor. Find one mentor that will be a sponsor of yours, not necessarily a power sponsor that you'll have to ask, but use this soft question. Hey, Jake, do you know anyone that can help me? Now you use the Ben Franklin effect, I call it. The Ben Franklin effect is, hey, I become an investment of yours. And as long as Jake has an open mind, so my only qualification or vetting process is open mind to closed mind. If I find a closed mind, I run away. It takes 1,000 times the energy to re-engineer a closed mind than an open mind. But when I find an open mind, even if I don't like to ask, I learned the subtle ask to start practicing in person, on the phone, via email, even media, traditional and social media. Hey, do you know anyone that could help me, Jake? I'm looking for people to come to my free trainings on Friday. I'm looking for people that will take my free book. I'm looking for people to join the gratitude challenge. I'm looking for people. Can you help me find anyone that wants to empower other people to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun? Can you give my email to those people? David@dmeltzer.com. I'm asking But I'm not asking you. I'm just asking for your sponsorship. Sponsors are people who may know someone that can help me. Power sponsors are someone that can help you, and they know someone that can help you, but you can't change a closed mind. You got to vet people for an open mind. And the easiest way to do that is ask open-ended questions. If they give you short answers or walk away or tell you to F off, run away. Thank God for protecting you from that closed mind and the closed-minded people that they surround themselves with.
What do you have to do to just get started? Because I think that's, to your point, right? The asking, whatever it is, people just don't start. Once they get started, it's you know, you can keep going from there.
Yeah, I got a few tricks with that. One, Einstein even said, right? Nothing happens till it moves. I have some sayings. When I'm not getting started, I have some sayings. One, first 5 minutes suck. I just tell it like it is, man. And you know, one of the things that's hardest to get started, especially when you're 54 years old like me, is I have 30 minutes of cardio every day. And I can't tell you how many mornings, and I do it early, right? I wake up at 4 a.m. and I can't tell you how many mornings after my meditation, I'm like, I do not want to get started with this. And so I just remind myself, you know what? First 5 minutes suck. If after 5 minutes you don't want to do this, then stop. I've never stopped. I've never finished one workout and said, man, I wish I didn't do that. But the majority of my workouts, I start going, do I really want to do this, or I shouldn't do this, or I don't want to do it? So everyone get the mantra, first 5 minutes suck. I'll quit after 5 minutes if I don't like it. That'll get you started. Another one that's practical and pragmatic is lowering the bar. So something big, like I stopped working out for a while because I was prioritizing my family and the activity I got paid for. No room left for health, which was the stupidest thing. You got to prioritize non-negotiable minimum of an hour a day on your health. I'm telling you, you are healthy, you get millions of wishes. You unhealthy, you only get one wish. So I had to figure out after, you know, a few years of not being healthy, how to get started. That's a hard one. So I lowered the bar. The lesson in pragmatic, I lowered the bar. I said, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to put my running shoes on. That's all. At minimum, I'm going to put my running shoes on to get started in this effort to be healthy. I lowered the bar so far that, you know, anybody, including me, could do it. And of course, that first day, I put the shoes on, I put the gear on. I said, I'm just going to drive to the gym. I drove to the gym, just going to do 10 minutes on the elliptical. I got 30 minutes on the elliptical. And the next day I said, you know what? I'm just going to put my shoes on. And I got 20 minutes on the elliptical, right? Then every day I kept going, but every day as I had so much resistance to overcome, I lowered the bar, reminded myself the first 5 minutes suck, right? When I got on the machine, said, look, after 5 minutes, you can quit, you know, but you know what? It felt so good. And it kept feeling good when I was done. Now I find it very easy not only to get started, but to actually use the reversal. Don't overdo it. I'm focused more on recovery and access with my sleep than I am on actually getting started.
Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office Plus. And remember to share with a friend or colleague, leave a review, and tune in to each weekly or monthly episode across our shows.